Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about how to shake up the upcoming city election. I've heard it said, if you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. We always talk about the Fort Worth way, meaning this is how it's always been done. Well, in 2023, let's be part of the ticket and create the change that we want to see. Tonight, I'm going to tell you how the ticket would work. Someone shared it with me, and tonight I'm going to share it with you. A disclaimer, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or any advertisers. With that said, let's talk Fort Worth. Tonight I see on the line with me Wayman Brown, and I also see Adrian Smith. Good evening, y'all. Good
evening. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey. Can you hear me, Wayman?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can. You know, okay. Y'all, this has been an interesting month here in Fort Worth, and we know now that we're getting ready to go into our city elections, and we're seeing some of the people begin to search for candidates for the upcoming city elections. But we know that this is a pivotal time in our city, and we cannot go backwards. We got to have leadership that's going to propel us forward. That said, I think it's only one way in order for that to happen. But before I disclose how I think it can happen, y'all tell me how y'all think it can happen. How can we move forward instead of going backwards? Because the Aaron Dean trial showed us that change is possible, even though we got some bad news today. But how do we move? How do we keep moving this thing forward and not go backwards? Wayman, we'll start with you.
Break the old traditional rules. And what I mean by that, excuse me, again, when I ran in 19, you know, you get the packet, and in that packet, it discloses a lot of things that I questioned. And what that was I've never ran and been in politics before in life. So I was going in this thing naive. And I was under the impression that if I ran for a council seat, that anything that we discussed or that we had put on the table from the community, and I took it back to the council, whatever was discussed about it, I could be honest and go back to the constituents and tell them, well, hey, we talked about this. I put it on the table. This is the answer that I was given, and this is who gave it to me. Now, where do y'all want to go from there? That's not how it works. They have a thing to where, you know, hey, whatever we talk about in here, certain things we'll let the public know about, a lot of it we won't. You know, so to me, there's always been a disclosure issue of why not, you know, because, like you say, many hands make light work. Why not try to use somebody else's idea, even if it ain't yours, but it can be a resolve to the problem?
I agree.
So, okay, where was this meet? Okay, so you never got on the council, but you found out this information how?
When you get your packet to get your name put on the ballot, it tells you all the do's and don'ts that if you're put on there, it tells you this thing, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do this now. You know, and from seeing what I have seen, it lets me know that there are some things that do go on in those closed sessions that do affect us as citizens in this city that we should know about. But they feel that they know better than we do, so we're going to make the decision for you. And I don't think that's fair to the people. You know, I think that's why we have what we call a democratic process of voting. You know, if anything, hey, put it on the table. If the council don't agree, let them know. Hey, go back and let your people know this. We don't agree with this. Let's vote on it. Let's vote on it. I mean, we voted to get you in office. Why not vote on the things that we want? You know, let us know what type of budget you're working with. You know, that's the kind of thing that has always, you know, aided me. And while we're on this subject, I want to know, if you're raising all this money in your campaign, why isn't some of that money in your campaign going towards some of the projects that the people are asking to be resolved?
Wow. You know what? Now if you want to open up those can of worms, let's go there. What are you doing with all the money that you don't spend? Where's that money going? Are people taking vacations with it? Are they building houses with it? Are they putting in their personal bank accounts? What's going on with the finances of the money that you don't spend?
Well, that's one of the things that Dr. Claude Anderson talks about in a lot of his books. He says that if you have money that you don't spend on your campaign, that money then basically is yours.
Now,
it's supposed to go toward any further campaign, but what if you don't run again? So what you have done now with your campaign contribution, you are basically buying that politician or that person that you're trying to put in office. Because since they have given you, it's a quid pro quo situation now. Hey, I gave to your campaign. I need something back. And what's going on now is, based on what you gave, depends on what order of the pecking order that you get some service out of me.
But hold on. Oh, for those of us that are a little slow and never ran for anything before, that kind of sounds like you could turn it into, a little hustle. If you feel me, you actually could get in these races and not really ever intend to really win or take a dive or whatever you want to call it, and you can just have all this money to play with.
That's how the game is played. Now, I will say this. I ran my campaign without any contribution other than maybe $25-$50 from family members. I ran my campaign on. And because the people that helped me get out, get my message out, and do the delivery of all my flyers, door hangers, and all of that stuff, they believed in the message so much that they were willing to – they worked for free.
Wow.
So that's how I thought it was supposed to go, but I quickly learned that, hey, man, no. Such and such, like you say, the POA gave $35,000 per person. Mm-hmm. So if they gave that $35,000, guess what? Whoever get in that seat is beholden to the POA.
Absolutely. And I 100% agree. I don't think that you can take POA donations and not be biased with your votes concerning the Fort Worth Police Department. I just don't think it's possible.
You can't. And the same goes for media. Star Telegram. Ooh. Hey,
absolutely.
You know, they slant it too because, hey, who did they endorse?
Ooh. And a lot of times they endorse one candidate before even talking to the rest of the candidates. They'll just say, oh, we're endorsing John Doe, but they never even talk to John Doe's opponent.
Exactly. And they make their judgment or assumptions based on, well, I've never heard of this guy before. We don't have any dirt on him. Where did you come from? What have you been doing? Well, if I've told you what I've been doing and I'm still doing that same work, investigate and report on that.
I believe that the Star Telegram is part of the establishment downtown. And so absolutely, right? So I believe if the Fort Worth Star Telegram endorses you, it's a 90% chance you are some kind of way connected to downtown and they're helping to get you in that seat.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know how many people – well, I don't mind telling my age. I'm 59. You know, I grew up watching James Stewart, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And remember the guy that put him in office? What did he do? He ran a newspaper.
Hmm.
So I can slander you. I can build you up. I can print whatever I want to say. And if don't nobody have the money or the knowledge to say, well, look, I'm going to either sue you for libel or I'm going to sue you for slander. One is written and one is spoken. So if they don't know that, you know, hey, the press can pretty much get away with what they want to get away with.
This is so true. Y'all listen, tonight we're letting y'all in on the game. You know, so if you really want to know who to vote for, we're going to tell you tonight how to do it. Christopher Marino has joined the conversation. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Hey, Carrie, thank you for having me on tonight. What's up, Chris? What's up, Wayman? Thank you for how you set the tone for the discussion. Let me ask you all. Let's do a quick math analysis. What's 9 minus 1?
That would be 8.
8.
Okay, 9 minus 1 is 8. So we got 8 more. We got to get rid of downtown because we already know one. We already know one has decided he's not running again. And then out of that 8, I would give one kind of a pass, and I've been on record saying this because I think he's fairly new, and I will allow him a chance to get his feet wet a little bit. But the other 7 got to go. And the only person I'm giving a pass to is Blaylock right now because he's fairly new. He hasn't really said much, and he's kind of, you know what I'm saying, give him a chance to get his feet wet. But the other 7 possibly got to go, you know what I'm saying, possibly got to go. But we're going to leave that to the voters. I would say this. Right. Without transparency, how can we function as a society? How can we function as a community? How can we function as a city without transparency? Mm-hmm. Now, Wayman, right. you brought some great insight into that, and it's going to make me look at my packet this time going forward, because I got the packet, but, you know, I don't know how much I delved into it. But that aspect of not being transparent when you are responsible for people's, not only people's livelihoods, but you're responsible for their financial incentives that they give to make this city be what it is, to allow you to have a job, not only you to have a job, but for the city to be able to function like it needs to, there needs to be more transparency. It can't be no, we're going to talk about this, but we're going to talk about this and not really tell everybody what's going on, but we can tell them this. No. Now, with my parents, I expect that with my parents, you know, our parents first and foremost is to protect us from, you know, look out for us, protect us. And at a young age, they tell us, you ain't ready for this. When you get a certain age, then you could start asking questions. But right now, you're under my roof, you're under my rules. You abide what I say, don't question it. But we're adults. These are not our parents, and we all are adults, sir. So mm-hmm. I would like more transparency. You know what I'm saying? We need more transparency to know what's going on. And you know what else we need? We need more people involved. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what this council has been thriving off of, the fact that there's not a lot of involvement, and they know it's not a lot of involvement. And I know Bob stresses it a lot, how many people are residents, sir, but we don't have a lot of people actually involved in a political process to ensure that those we elect are doing exactly what we elected them for. So I'll start this. We're in a new year. Let's get ready mm-hmm. to shake up this council. And I think they know, based on the campaign files. I just pulled them up right before you came on, Carrie. And I see mm-hmm. that District 9, we do got somebody who's submitted their candidacy or who has filed for a treasurer, and I'm glad he has. So, Mr. Really? Mundick, I see you. See Mr. Mundick is he's on board. And,
All right.
Yes.
And, that's good news.
That's good news. Yes, ma'am. And District 11, of course, we got three people showing in District 11. We have one person showing in District 5, and we have two people showing it. We just have two people currently showing for the mayor's seat, but you all get ready. January 18th, I guarantee this thing's going to get flooded out again. And to all the people who are running, go for it. Don't mm-hmm. if you're in it, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? You can do it. This is your opportunity. Put your best foot forward. Now, as far as the Star Telegram, the establishment,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to encourage anybody, take all interviews you can get. Anybody that wants you to come onto their platform for an interview, give them that, because that's your opportunity to speak to people you might not be able to speak to. Take that. Star Telegram is going to be one. But understand that Star Telegram is going to do one thing. It's smoke and mirrors with Star Telegram. They are going to endorse incumbents. We know that. As far as the POA is concerned, we already know how that plays. I think one thing I would like to see with our council, separate yourselves from these boards that creates a conflict of interest. One being the POA, CCPD. You all don't have mm-hmm. to be on. You all do not have to be on it, but you choose to be on it. They choose to be on it. They don't have to be on it.
Don't forget the zoning commission.
The zoning commission, Carrie. You know what? Any boards, because mm-hmm. there's what these boards create conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Any boards that have council members' names attached to them because they think this is our civil duty, we got to do this. Please, if you want us to have true transparency, take yourself off these boards. But again, I think these boards are just a back room for them to make money. You know, on make the money that they would have made as council members had we given. I'm not going to even say that now, because the raising had nothing to do with it. But basically, mm-hmm. we need more transparency. I'll begin there, Carrie.
And you know what? Let's say this. Remember when a certain council person, you said to the certain council person, I don't like it when you critique you know, every speaker, as though it is your job to say something about every speaker that comes up. And what did the council person say to you?
This council person told me, basically, I'm where I am and you where you are, basically. I let this council person know because I was upset because I observed this. You talk, it's like you're talking with a forked tongue. For one, you give off like you're with the people, you ride with the people, but then with that same breath, you turn around and start trying to critique the people when we're trying to hold those who we elected accountable, but you're still trying to critique us. And I don't like that. So I let this council person know, hey, for one, I don't got no ally. Quit doing that to us. Quit doing it.
That's right. That's right, Chris Nettles. But anyway, we're going to move on.
I'll let you do it, Carrie. Okay, I'll let you do it, Carrie.
Get him in.
I'm so glad. You know what? He does do it. Now, when you need him to speak up, he quiet as a church house mouse. But when you don't need him, he's always very, very good at interjecting himself into a situation when maybe he shouldn't. And so, you know, Mr. Nettles, we see you. We see how you talk to Elizabeth nonstop on the end of the road, and y'all be disrupting when other, you know, people are coming to the podium, and when your own colleagues are up there talking, y'all just be holding an outright conversation. So we see all that. But we're talking about that tonight because we're talking about everything that we see that we consider a problem. Because if we don't have your attention while we're on the floor, why are you up there? If you weren't there, some of you get up and walk out. Some of you all, you know, make fun of the speakers. You know, some of you all do a whole bunch of stuff that you shouldn't be doing. You know, some of you all don't show up at all. Some of you all are absent during a lot of the votes, you know, for whatever reason. Elizabeth Beck. You know, we noticed that just before Thomas died, the last three sessions before he died, you were not even there. But you conveniently showed up after he passed. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Okay, so there's a lot we're concerned about, you know, and so my idea, and Christopher, I apologize. I muted you because there was some noise in your background, and I kept muting you to make sure that it was isolated to you, and it was. It was like some wind or something. So I muted you for that reason, and I was going to come back to you when the wind stopped. But let's talk about the ticket, y'all. Now, this is my concept, and I won't tell y'all what year I graduated, but let's just say it was a long time ago. And I went to a I was a poor girl, but I went to a predominantly white school. And so black people were the minority because there were no Hispanics where I grew up at. So black people were the minority. That said, they had something called the Hall of Fame, and no black people ever won. So I went to this school from 7th grade to 12th grade, and when I got to my senior year, I realized, okay, we're not going to do this year because we're going to figure this out. So what I did was I went to all of the other seniors that were black, and I said the only way we change things is to do something different. I said, so when it comes up this year for the Hall of Fame, what we're going to do is nominate only other black people. And I said, and then when the nominations come back in the categories, what we're going to do is only vote for black people. So these are the people that we nominated. And then if any of them make it, we're only going to vote for them. That's 4 of us made it that year. 4.
Okay.
4 made it when no other year, none of us had made it. And so my thing is, the concept of the ticket is something very similar. But before I explain, we're going to let Christopher come in, and hopefully that noise is gone. Good evening, Christopher.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just trying to catch in. I mean, this is a different topic than what I like to, that I usually focus, that I'm my area of expertise, but I see, you know, the only little thing that I would sit there and say is It's a mentality thing with people. And Adrian, we got to get, you know, all we can do is pressure the message and motivate people. But the mentality thing is we got to get back to the old ways, because the old people generation, a couple of, just two, three generations before, there wasn't, everybody kind of knew that this kind of concept that there's some kind of guarantee from government or coming from them, equitable. No, it's just like what he said. That's why this is the mentality that we got to flip the script on, because it's really bad that somebody, you're going to ask a question or you're going to be a dissenting person, and you're trying to be as cordial as you can. But, you know, you have some figurative, expressive, you're there for some, to express something. And then, but I know that there are city councils that I've sat through some city council places, and they actually have a rule that there's a certain order of response to citizens' comments, that you get your 3 minutes, and I think only the chair is able to address somebody without, they have to ask the chair for permission to respond to that or whatever, you know. And but like you were saying, that a city council member will just sit, anybody who is in a public place being paid with tax dollars that would have the audacity to sit there and make a comment that's why I'm where I am and you are where you are. Oh no. Yeah.
But the thing is, this particular council, and, you know, and if any of y'all are listening, I ain't scared of y'all. I'm just going to call it like I see it tonight. I'm not scared of y'all.
Come on, I'm fine.
I'm just going to tell you, I ain't scared of y'all. Y'all have been very arrogant. Say what?
All right, Buddy Mac.
Y'all have been very arrogant. Y'all have been very detached. You know, sometimes y'all have conducted business downtown like children. You all have spent our money like, you know, y'all been cutting checks like y'all were cutting grass, like it was just going to grow back. I mean, you know, you upped our taxes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, y'all changed the times, you know, on when we were going to do business downtown. You know, didn't consult the people, changed the amount of times that the people could speak. You know, you appeared not to even want to listen to us. It's as though, in my opinion, sometimes it seems like it's almost as though they detest the people. You know, it's like, you know, like we're a problem or a nuisance. You know, like they refer to Thomas in the Four Star Telegram, he was a gadfly. How is the constituents a gadfly, y'all? I mean, what kind of business do y'all think running down there? Who do you think you're running it for? And so I've seen y'all laugh at speakers. I've seen y'all make fun of people. I've seen y'all call the marshals on people. I've seen y'all break quorum just to not listen to one person. You know, y'all change the rules just to keep from dealing with two particular people. You know, a lot of y'all, like I said, absent from a lot of the votes, Jared Williams, Elizabeth Beck. You know, so I'll be honest with you. Okay, somebody's got some noise in your background. Does anybody know who that is?
I'm muted.
Okay, that's your. Okay, so basically, you all have taken donations from the Fort Worth POA, and basically, when you vote, it's apparent that your decisions are based on trying to make sure you continue to get those donations. And so with all of that said, it seems to me, you know, even when you raise the taxes, you know, everything's just a game. Gave money to organizations through the CCPD funding that basically these people don't even have a website. They don't have a location. They don't even have a landline or a track record for what they do. But y'all are giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to these people, which means you all have no respect for our money. So that said, I think there needs to be something called the ticket. And this is how the ticket would work, y'all. The ticket would be six or more people in six different races, but hopefully more. Mm-hmm. Those people would run as a ticket. Even though they're in individual races, they would sell themselves as a ticket, meaning that if you vote us in as a block,
Yeah.
You got six people down there, which is a majority hold, which means any agenda item that comes up, we have the numbers to make it pass or fail.
Mm-hmm.
So these people would come together, advertise together, go and meet the people together. Basically, they are selling themselves that we will be the group for the people. We will vote the will of the people. We will listen to the people. And I think that's what we mean. We're talking about a multiracial group of people, you know, from diverse mm-hmm. backgrounds, basically who are going to come together, and basically they're going to have servants' hearts. They're not going to go down there and vote what they want. They're going to vote what the people want. They're mm-hmm. going to be ready day one to roll up their sleeves and work for the people. And I've been talking to several people about this, y'all, because, listen, I know there's snitches in this city, so somebody's probably already run back downtown and told it, so I'm going to tell on my damn self. And so I think it is what it is. I'm going to tell on my damn self tonight. And so it is my thought process that that's the only way we're going to get change downtown, is that we gotta find a group of people in different races who are going to run as the ticket. And that ticket will be our majority hold downtown to get agenda items either passed or to fail them based on the will of the people. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I'm just saying, y'all.
I like it because – go ahead.
I was going to say real quick as far as the ticket. See, and regardless of the number, like you say, we won't. That number, that so you say six or more, right? Say like you mm-hmm. get to six. But even if out of that six you get four, you get mm-hmm. three, you get two, we need mm-hmm. at least, out of that six, we're going to need at least two. Even if we get two elected, three elected, mm-hmm. we want the six. We want that, mm-hmm. that number. But if you get part of that ticket, again, we optimists, so we're going to believe we get the six. But even if mm-hmm. we get part of that ticket on the ballot, I mean, in those council seats, we still got a quorum to where the other council members they're gonna have to still get in line because of the fact that, like you say, the votes are gonna it's either gonna go yeah or nay, but at least we know the people we elected they're still sticking to okay, you know what I'm saying? They still sticking to what we elected them for. You know they're beholden. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To what we're holding them to. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I like you said, I'm for it. People just got to be on board with it because a lot of people when it's not the ideal, they're not really rocking with it. But this is a great yeah. idea.
But you know, I'm gonna yeah. say this before you speak. You know, remember Diane Ragsdale, Al
yes.
Lipscomb, and John Wiley Price.
John Wiley Price.
They were
yes.
forced to be reckoned with downtown Dallas. Well, am I right, y'all?
You right. You
all
right.
I'm
you're
just
right
saying.
About it. Now watch this. I'm glad you're going right into another segue. Because
okay, go ahead.
We just had what? This freeze that came in, right?
Right.
Now you can't tell me we couldn't get three people on the city council at some point in time to say, regardless what part of town you live in, north, south, east, or west Fort Worth, you know we all got homeless people.
Wow.
How the hell are we not going to have a program set in place, regardless whose district it's in, that we're not going to have something in place to tell these people when the weather is bad, we got a place for you other than a shelter?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now see that tells their hand right there, because mm-hmm. even though the convention center is downtown,
yeah.
and that falls right behind District 8, mm-hmm. you mean District 4 didn't have an idea, District 5 didn't have an idea, 1 through the rest of them, nobody had an idea to say, hey man, mm-hmm. look, I see it's going to be a problem. Let's put our heads together and see what we can come up with for this city to where we don't have to worry about shelters being overcrowded or anything like that. Right now, what we want to do is get the people off the street, into a warm building in beds to where this thing blows over. And when it does, if that's going to work, let's keep our heads together and start working on programs to where we can start getting these people back into a workforce or something to get them, not just, you know, to take care of them, but we want to get them back into the mainstream of life. Hell, I was homeless. You know, so I know what that feels like. So, and I was homeless for 8 months. But with the help of family and perseverance within me, saying, look, this ain't where I'm going to be. This is not where I'm going to stay. So what do I need to do to get out of this? My wife went back to school. I started I went to a career academy to learn personal training. I mean, you know, you gotta start looking at different avenues of what you can do. And if we got something, see, they claim they have all these programs downtown. They say they got something for the homeless. How often do you hear them advertising?
Oh, wait.
None of them. Not a one of them. So you got all these resources. They get on people about going down there feeding the homeless or giving them clothes and stuff. Well, we don't want y'all to call. I remember Kelly Allen Gray was in, and she said, well, we have a program to where if y'all feeding them, that messes up the breakfast that we're going to give them. And I'm like, how? Hell, them people hungry. You know, they ain't got a certain time of day they want to eat.
Wow.
So we got to look beyond those things and actually start trying to, if we can get at least three people that want to work together as a group like that, regardless what district you're in, I think that'll be enough to actually start turning things around in the city.
You know what? It's funny you're talking about that because today I was going through my emails, and I'm looking for the email right now, where the city had put out something back in October about the homeless. So they knew that this was going to be an issue in October. So how do we go from October to December with not having a plan? You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for it. And this allegedly came from the mayor. And the mayor was saying that, you know, she needed, you know, leaders to step up to be a part of, like, some type of group to deal with the homeless issue because the shelters were reaching capacity. So if they knew that back then, why are we still here?
Because they pulled a Joel Osteen on us.
Oh.
See, what they did, they said, look here. We want you to, when they said leaders, they were saying, well, basically, since a lot of where the homeless are in the African-American community, we want you church leaders, we want y'all to open y'all doors and y'all take them in because we don't want that mess down. We don't want that down in our new, brand-new spanking center down here in downtown. We don't want to have to clean up behind them homeless people. That's what they did. They pulled Joel Osteen on them.
Oh.
And, you know, the convention center was empty. But the convention center was empty during that cold snap, too.
Joel Osteen's church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I can say. I'm from Fort Worth. I was born here and everything. And I'm looking at the historical, you know, time period here. And it's just been these last 5 years. It's really bad. It might have started 10 years ago, but it was slow pace 10 years ago. But these last 5 years, the transformation, and like I said, it's just becoming obvious. When I was younger, I guess probably 10 years ago, but really the past 5 years, the homeless situation was, and it was part of the script way back then too. There was some, but you know what? It was a little bit more person oriented. They had a plan in place. They had an effort in place, but the subterfuge of that was they wanted it contained to those areas, like you sit here and said. That's why you have that shelter strip, that one little area where there's shelters right there, right? And it concentrated everything. But back when I was a kid, there was like three major pretty areas where you had homeless people, and it was kind of around the downtown area, a little bit on the west side, and then up on a little bit on the north side along Jacksboro Highway. But now when you drive around, it goes all the way up into Firestone's district. They have homeless people under the bridge up at Alliance Parkway. And, and what I say is that isn't an effect. That is an effect of this last. And what I say is I used the word last week, the gentrification thing. They are trying to disperse it, to confuse it, to smokescreen it, to so it doesn't become a big issue for a lot of people. So now it's just everywhere out there, and they're trying to make the people. But this downtown move, it was probably 10, 15 years ago. You remember those red brick buildings that were the projects right there where they built the Radio Shack stuff?
Right.
I mean, I remember those growing up. That was like the first projects in Fort Worth. I mean, and it was for I think it was for elderly people mostly. Well, I'm not real sure. I don't remember, but I know it was. And then they had another set of those red brick buildings over there, right there where up on the hill where they did the Mixmaster, the new Mixmaster, and they got rid of all of that. And then now what you hear with this Panther Island. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. All of that property, all of the hospital district, I think that I said Rosemont, but what's the other one right by the hospital district on Magnolia? Did they call that?
There's a project there?
No.
You mean the south?
Right there where the hospital district.
No, that's the old Pastor's Boys and Girls Club.
Well, there's that little strip there that was it used to be a little strip mall way back in the day, and then they built it up, and they had these bistros and stuff right there. Just past All Saints to the left. I think is it Magnolia? I think it's Magnolia Street.
That's Magnolia.
Yeah. There's a little
– I grew up on Austin.
And now they did the same thing right there on Beltmap. If you come off of where it used to be a pretty bad area in Beltmap right there when you're coming out of Haltom City – up to get onto they've redone all of that. And I mean, I'm all for development. I'm all for, but the economy, what they're doing is they're trying, it's been a historical thing. It's called redline. I mean, I took civil rights classes when I was at TCU with this guy named Max Kropmal. He was a great professor and he knew his business and he really drilled us into it. But this is just a cycle. We're going back through. They're just using new paint, you know.
The cycle's got to end somewhere, though, because, you know, it's kind of like with this trial, with this Aaron Dean trial. When they really realized that the people were not going to go for it, then all of a sudden things shift. I think the same thing has to happen with the city election. I think the people have got to raise up and decide that they're not going to go for this bullcrap anymore. I mean, you know, when you're an elected official, you're just that. You're an elected official, which means that there is a time you come and a time that you go. And you go when the people no longer feel that what you're doing is best for the people. And I think what we have downtown right now is a group of people that have lost their damn mind. I mean, and it's like it is what it is. Yo, I used to call in to council. Or speak at council. But you know what I realized? I was wasting my damn breath. Those people don't care. I mean, they don't care. And so it just really got to me like it was a waste of your voice, because you would go down there and they would look at you as though you had, like, you know, a third head on your head or something, and nothing would ever come of it. And I think I really decided, okay, I'm going to take my energy and put it on exposing things on my show when Mayor Pro Tem Gina Bivens took up for MPO Michael Chavez, number 4053. I think I lost faith in the group. I think when I watch Mayor Pro Tem Gina Bivens take up for Michael Chavez and make sure he had his job, after I went down and complained about him, she had Cindy Boland, who's with her Central Meadowbrook Neighborhood Association, and Don Hawes with her Central Meadowbrook Neighborhood Association, write nice letters for him. And what's the city manager name? Costa? Is that his name?
Choppa.
Not Choppa. No, the other one, the tall, thin one. the what's his name? Very intelligent, but very strange looking. The city manager. Isn't his name Costa? C-O-S-T-A? Something. No,
oh,
not Cook.
Cook is the city manager.
Not Cook. She's talking about the Godfather Cook.
Oh,
yeah.
You're right. I forgot his name. But anyway, he wrote me a nice letter, a nice, nasty letter, and said, listen, we got your letter, and we know you complained on this police officer, but we got city leaders who have spoken up for him and said he's a nice guy. That part.
Wow.
And so
they said the same shit about the chief of police we got now.
I'm trying to say.
Oh, he's a nice guy. The hell with being a nice guy? Do your damn job.
I'm done. And so, y'all, listen, that told me we don't have nothing downtown right now. You know, when Gina Bivens will take up for a dirty cop, you know, who literally will probably kill somebody one day and the blood will be on her hands for saving his job, we ain't got nothing downtown now. And as great as it seems to have a black mayor pro tem, Gina Bivens has not stepped up to the plate. In my opinion, they said absolute power corrupts. Gina Bivens, I'll say it and go on the record, say, absolute power has corrupted you. You're not the same person as you were before they gave you that extra title. And that's shameful. And so all that we're seeing downtown right now, it's just not pretty. It's just not. And some people will probably say, well, why do you just say that to her in private? Well, goddamn it, she did not say it to me in private when she took up for the bad cop. That part.
And that's Carrie. And those people who are saying it are the people who look like us who don't believe in accountability for our own. They feel just because it's one of our own that they shouldn't be held accountable or no. Nah. I'm listen here. Anybody can get it. Anybody can get it. And like I say, that's why I always
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's why I always say this, Carrie. That's why I always say this. No matter what we say. And I'm going to keep putting emphasis on this. No matter what we say, they vote one way. No matter what we say, they vote one way. As far as the homeless is concerned, I'm going to stay way back to this real briefly. They have hurt the homeless more than they have helped the homeless. They have hurt the homeless more than they have helped the homeless. Think about this. You all can take time out to create an ordinance to keep the homeless from sleeping under the bridge. You know what I'm saying, right there about Fort Worth, because, you know, it's an eyesore. So when people come into the city, you don't want them to know we have homeless. So you put an ordinance up to trespass that they can't sleep under the bridge. But where else are they going to sleep? You also took the time out right before Christmas to clear out a whole homeless encampment where they had tents, where they were not bothering anybody, where there was not any issues going on, where this was the only place that they could have a peace. You all took the time out to use city services, law enforcement, code enforcement to go clear them out, but you couldn't open up the convention center. You couldn't open up the convention center, but I digress. You got to carry.
But you know what? Let me piggyback off that. So you gave out all this CCPD funding to people who don't even have a website, a landline, a building, or even a track record of thousands of dollars. But at the same time, you couldn't take some of those thousands and open up the convention center so that those people could have, you know, basically a place to rest out from the element for a couple of days. That's sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just sorry. And you know what? God is watching. And I promise his wrath is going to fall on y'all because the Bible says the poor you will have with you always. And so even though we don't know what their story is, but I don't believe anybody would choose to be outside in 12-degree temperatures if they were either in their right mind or something else wasn't going on. They don't want to be in those shelters for whatever reason. So anybody who does not have compassion for the less fortunate, you're in the wrong position. I mean, you're just absolutely in the wrong position. Y'all, we're going to go to the phone lines. I saw 214-206. We're going to go to you. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I on the air? I cannot tell.
You are on the air.
Oh, awesome. Well, hey, this is Taylor Mondick. You guys are doing great tonight. Just wanted to stop in and say hello and that, You know, I agree with you on the situation that happened a few weeks ago. And that's also, too, why I am running for City Council District 9, because things like that, we need to have a voice up there, a voice of reason, a voice for compassion for everybody, not just one side, not just one partisan effort, not one political party, but for everybody over there. So I agree with you guys. Great job tonight, too, by the way.
Thank you. So, Taylor, you threw your hat in the ring today.
I did. I did. You know, I appointed a treasurer, and that's the first step. You know, we've got now until the 18th, you know, until we actually have to file. So right now it's just about getting out there into the community, meeting people, hearing what their needs are, their concerns are. I've heard from a lot already, and it's kind of your three basic things, you know, crime, infrastructure, and taxes. I talked to someone tonight, actually. She was very concerned about, you know, the homeless situation, what actually Fort Worth is doing about it, because, you know, there's a lot of evidence pointing to the fact that we're not doing much. We kind of just push it on to the next person or, you know, blame it on another issue. Talked a lot about mental health system people tonight and how, what we can do to actually curtail some of that. But there's a lot of issues. I'm excited. This is going to be a great race, and I think we're going to see a really good 2023 and 2024.
Okay, so you're hearing, if I understood you correctly, you're hearing infrastructure, taxes, and the homeless?
And crime. Crime, infrastructure, and taxes. And then I spoke with someone tonight. She's not the first person, but she was concerned about the homeless population and kind of the overwhelming need for mental health care, because we're seeing that a lot within the homeless population.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good answers. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Taylor. Good luck with your race.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You guys keep it up.
And what district is that again?
That's District 9. Currently, Elizabeth Beck is on the council.
Wow.
I think Taylor's gonna
win that thing then. I really do.
I'm going to try. All I want to do is meet as many folks as I can. I'm going to blow my past door-knocking record out of the water, get out there, meet as many folks as we can, and just see what the issues are.
Wow. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Taylor. Again, good luck. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. God bless.
Wow, God bless. Now, listen. So, Firestone's 8 out, we understand, in 7. And now we see Beck will be out in 9 because – I think Taylor London can beat Elizabeth Beck. I really do. I think we need some change over there.
And there's a new demographic. There's a new demographic that's over in my, you know, that's where my mom lives.
Does he overcome that partisan issue there, though?
What partisan?
Because I think they're different. I think they're different persuasions.
That's what I'm saying. There's a different demographic over there now that's more – when I grew up over there, we were the first black family to live there back in 1978.
Right.
And my mom still lives there in the same house. But since 78, we had went through – there was a large Vietnamese population that came through. And for some reason or another – a lot of the Vietnamese got deported out.
Oh,
I mean, for any little thing like kid getting in trouble at school, some stuff like that. Some of them, you know, was a little bit more harsh and severe, little gang stuff. But that had nothing to do with the parents. That was the kid.
Wow.
Now it's more Asian.
Wow.
And it's still predominantly white. You know, because you got 8th Avenue and Daggett Elementary and all that stuff around there. But it's a lot of younger. There are no more. It's not that many baby boomers there anymore.
Really? Yeah. I can know that. And you know what? To be honest with you, I think Firestone did a great thing this week. I think Firestone, I don't think he was built for the job. And that's okay, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, any job, you know, some people are going to do great at it and other people go, okay, this ain't for me. And so I'm glad that he was man enough to say, this ain't for me. I'm going home and be with my family and help finish raising my kids, you know, in their formative years, because I don't want to miss anything. And I think that took a lot of courage, because a lot of people just expect you to stay because you got in it, you know. But I really commend him for bailing and saying one term was enough for him. And I think there's probably some other people up there that really should follow suit with him too. They've either been there too long, or their first term should be their only term, because they don't.
And you know, it's really becoming a habit. It's really becoming a pattern in Fort Worth and Tarrant County politics, that because I've seen like three or four of them just recently. This last election, you got Whitley, mm-hmm. you got Sharon Wilson, and I think there were a couple of judges too. But you got them just like Firestone. Now, I won't put anything on Firestone because I don't know anything about this that too much about him. But I do kind of feel like he came in trying to ride things were good a few years ago, or you know. But the thing that I say is, you get Sharon Wilson and Whitley, there's been a couple of other people that, and what they've done is they came in like wrecking balls, and they actually created major setbacks for everybody else, you know. Mm. And then all of a sudden, and now Sharon Wilson, I'm not saying perfection or anything, but when Sharon came into the office, things were functional. There were problems, but she came in here right off the bat, she's talking like this, there's example after example after example where she's out here projecting this or pumping this stuff out with her PR, but like I said, the Courtney Johnson thing, she told everybody with Courtney Johnson that she wasn't going to re-prosecute him as a retry. She wasn't going to retry him. She had to dismiss it because it was just a matter of fact that she had to come to terms with that that she didn't think she could get a jury to do it, right? So fine, that's fine. Okay, you deal with that. But the truth is, what the documentation proves behind the scenes is she had the Fort Worth POA advocating for him to be expunged before it even happened. It was already the Fort Worth POA was already puppet mastering her to freaking throw it, and so he didn't get convicted. She didn't even advocate for his indictment. The grand jury did it by themselves, you know. Yeah. And that's her policy. She came up with these policies, and you hear it still. I don't know, but it needs to change with this guy. But she's got this policy that the Tarrant County DA, no matter what the circumstances, if it involves a law enforcement altercation, the police department present her the file, and then they will present it to the grand jury, but they won't do that. They won't review it and make a determination, was it criminal or not. They're just going to give it to the grand jury and let the grand jury do it. That's the essence of what her policy is, and that's why we get these – that's why we get these off the rail things every time a police officer goes on trial, because there's no she has no passion for justice when it comes to law enforcement. They're untouchables. Yeah.
Wow. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And tonight we're talking about how to shake up the upcoming city election. Y'all, it's one way to do it. If you want change, you got to be the change that you want to be. And that means we got to get up and we got to do something. And that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, there's been a shift in Tarrant County, if you're paying attention, to a lot of people that have been seated for a while have suddenly moved on. Tarrant County Judge mm-hmm. Whitley, that you just spoke of, he's gone. You know, the former POA Manny Ramirez, you know, he's gone. The DA Sharon Wilson, she's gone. I think, y'all, we got to stay with the shift. When stuff ain't working, we got to shift the people out.
Manny Ramirez just got elected to the county commissioner's office.
No. But we're talking about in the position. We're talking about in the position that he wreaked the most havoc at. Now with the Fort Worth POA.
Oh, okay, got you. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So we're talking about moving out of positions that they have been seated in for quite a while,
and
we don't know how long he's going to last on the new position, but we know he's out on the old one. And so I think we got to pay attention to the shift, y'all. When stuff is shifting, one thing you got to be careful of is, you know, the Bible says so it is in the natural, so it is in the heavenlies. And so you got to realize we got to keep those things balanced. And so there's some shifting going on in the earth, but in order to continue to keep it moving, we got to pray it through and we got to do something. When we have faith, then we got to move. Faith without works is dead. We got to get up and we got to do something. I hate to listen to Monday morning quarterbacks or people who talking on the stoop or on the corner in the barbershop. And those are the same people that don't do nothing. They don't go to the polls. They, you know, they tell you how voting ain't going to work. And
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of those people. You know what it is? It's like they're talking to death, but they ain't going to do nothing.
And, you know, Carrie, it's sad that you had, and I'm telling you right now, I got people within my, I don't even call it my inner circle, but people I interact with, you know what I'm saying, this, that, or the other. I probably consider associates or friends, whatever. And it's sad because I couldn't talk to them about politics. I couldn't talk to them about voting. I couldn't talk to them about getting involved because they are so much, you already know their minds is so so focused on stuff that don't mean nothing. It's like I feel like I'm on an island by myself. That's why I have you. That's why I have Chris. That's why I have Wayne. That's why I had these people carry out. You just don't know this relationship that was this my desire to run for office 2 years ago or whatever it was. This has put me in a space of people that's like-minded. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, it's so exhilarating, you know what I'm saying, to know you got people like-minded that's concerned about change. That's just not concerned about living, but concerned about change and seeing things through and making it better for all of us. You know what I'm saying? No matter how they try to paint the picture, try to make it better for all of us. And I'm going to stay with this process because this is truly in my heart. You know, I have a heart of a servant. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm never elected, I'm going to always be in a mix of something that got to deal with the lives of others, helping people, trying to make, because that's what it's all about. And I think, you know what, even though we're not even going to put that in earth, this new thing that came up regarding this trial, you all, let's let this thing, if it's going to get legs, let it get legs. But right now, we're going to focus on what we're going to focus on. I already know what this is. This Tarrant County, that verdict was a black eye to Tarrant County because Tarrant County is a quote unquote red, you know, considered a red county, conservative county. They would think that conviction of Mr. Dean would have been in Dallas because it's considered liberal. But man, forget the politics stuff, y'all. We talking about a person's life that was in this. That woman should still be here. So this stuff they trying to do now, man. That if it's going to get legs, better get legs. We'll deal with it when it comes. But right now, Terry, you know, we know what we're trying to get done, and we're trying to unseat some of these people. And like I say, if we get one or two of them off, we've done something. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to put it in the atmosphere like it was last time, y'all. I don't know if y'all are paying attention to 2021, but I think Malik is the term, we're going to flip the council. And listen, I think down there everybody came off that council. And so I think you really, first of all, you got to put it in the atmosphere. Second of all, you got to know by faith that it can happen. And then thirdly, you got to know that it needs to happen. Because, you know, I hear people all the time that will talk me to death about what Trump has done, what Trump is going to do, what they think, you know, Trump is into. But they don't realize how close what we're dealing with every day downtown into our everyday lives, you know, so they're thinking we got to stop Trump and not realize that we got people right here in the, you know, in the area that is doing some crooked and corrupt stuff. You know, remember Byrd said when he left the council in 2021, he said, if y'all elect me for mayor, I'm going to clean up the corruption downtown. Well, he never did tell us what corruption was.
So that already let you know he knew it was a problem.
That part.
It is. It's all out there.
Let me take it to a
question. I mean, okay.
Remember when Nettle said recently, and maybe Adrian and Wayman was watching the council meeting when he said, they doing some backroom deal meetings that I'm not included in. Remember? Did he say it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, what was he talking about?
Well, see, that alludes back to that. Remember what I said earlier when we started the show? They tell you in that packet, there are things that we're going to discuss that we do not want the public to know that we're discussing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that means if let's say somebody donated a certain amount of cots and a certain amount of blankets for the homeless. City of Fort Worth, where y'all going to put them?
I don't
see,
know.
Now that's what you look at, and that's when we start talking about, okay, you had all this money built up for your campaign, and because I remember this vaguely, I remember putting in the press that Chris Nettles made the statement that he had expended his budget, so therefore there's nothing that he could do as far as help sheltering those people during that time.
Jasmine Tate said it in an inbox message to me. Yes, he did. But anyway, go ahead.
So
what
is it? What was the budget? See, that and that's what we need to know. What's the budget that
you know
we
what
need?
I think? I think that was a misspoke. I think he misspoke. First of all,
yeah,
what budget? Yeah, Chris don't have no budget. That's the city budget.
You'll have a budget for certain things. They will allot you a certain amount of money to do certain projects.
Okay.
Per district, they will allot you that. But why can't you tell the public what the budget is that you're allotted?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm only given $75,000, say to try to handle my homeless project, and I need 250. Well, let me get out here like I was campaigning. Hey, y'all, look, I just got in office, but we know we got the winter coming up, and we can't put everything on ERCOT or THU or Encore. So right now my budget is only $75,000. But if I can get $250,000, if we can raise that, let's take that 250 and we can get this building over here, and it'll be specifically used for that purpose, and we can shelter X amount of people. See, that gives us a landmark where we can start. But if we do that, then that's damn near like what? An inventory audit. Because now you have given numbers, you have given specifics, and you have given dates. So when you start itemizing things like that, oh, hell no, we can't let them know all that now. Because if you start doing that, I can't take my cut out.
See?
I kind of think that the typical angle, when I've looked at city budgets and the transparency that they got to put out in reporting, there's a little thing in there. It's kind of a wedge. And the way they play it is with, they can't do it with city revenues because they have to account incoming and outgoing with, like, their taxes, their ticket collection, their fees. Everything that comes in goes into the bank account, and then everything that goes out that bank account, because it filters through. That's got to be tightly accounted for by the law, by the government code. But they slip with its intergovernment revenues. That's like federal grants and stuff. And I think that's what he's talking about. When they bring in a federal grant like the CARES Act or whatever, then they sit there and they don't have to do. It's kind of like a lottery, and they just split it up like pizza. And here's your slice. That's what they do with that money.
Well, it's kind of you know how the old tax collectors used to do. They say you used to thumb the scale.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing. Hey, we put an X amount of fish on the scale. Say, man, that's, say, 20 pounds. But when they take the thumb off, it's only 12 and a half. But
right.
you still paying them for the 20. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Hey,
Kerry, and then you know what? Kerry, let me be in agreement with you. Let me put, because I do believe in speaking things into the atmosphere, speaking things to existence. We will see change. We will get a
change.
So check this out, y'all. Yes. Just like y'all stated about that money, even though I'm not elected, I think I got a little knowledge of how politics works. I know each district is allocated
certain amount of money each year to do whatever they need to do for their district. Like you say, outside of the other stuff, that's the excess stuff. My thing is this. What happened to all the federal money that y'all didn't spend? Where happened to all that federal money that you all didn't spend that we know you didn't spend? Where is that money sitting at? What are y'all doing with that? I think more or less y'all this council again, like you know what I was saying, Kay, they've been thumbing their noses up at us ever since that vote. They've been thumbing their noses up at us. They think we're beneath them. one of the rule changes I would like to see changed. Y'all say y'all can't have dialogue with us while we on that council floor for 3 minutes, but y'all do it anyway when y'all feel like it's something personal. Y'all start going into these little tantrums or making comments and stuff. Mm-hmm. How about this? Change the rule. Let's start having a discussion while we on the council floor. The council meetings are shorter now since y'all changed the rule. They are shorter. Y'all speed tracking everything now. So why not have dialogue with us when we asking questions openly? Why not have dialogue? You know what I'm saying? That's transparency. We're not children. We're adults.
I think it's in the rules that they can't, though. I did hear or read that somewhere. They're not supposed to say.
No, I'm saying they can look, Carrie. They changed the rules. See, they changed the rules to fit them. They can change the rules to where we can have a dialogue. See, that ain't – I don't even think the state law – they'll probably say that's state law. State law say we can't – that's y'all choosing to do that because y'all know if y'all start asking – if we start asking y'all questions and y'all don't have the answers, it's going to make y'all look like y'all don't know nothing. So what's the best way to make it look like I know something? Sometimes I just don't say nothing. It doesn't mean I don't know it. I'm just not going to say anything. They don't want to have a discussion because they don't want to have a discussion because they know they don't know they don't know it.
Well, see, Adrian, it's just like when the police get that 72 hours to get their statements together.
Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah,
that's ingrained in law. That's something they can't change.
Oh wait,
but listen, y'all. Okay, and I came up with this thing, you know, there was all this controversy and they weren't even talking about it. They weren't even serious about it. They weren't engaged with it at all. The police oversight, whatever this other thing that they had with Neil, now that she's gone, they haven't communicated anything about how that's going to take place with her, who's her replacement or whatever. I think she's out now. But anyway, I'm going to sit here. I got a point to make because the Fort Worth POA, the oversight committee that they were just recently voted down.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't understand, all that is it was a step. But here, the Fort Worth POA, they allow. You got this other entity, the Fort Worth POA. They're not governmental, but they allow the Fort Worth POA to come into the chief's command every week. Every meeting that the chief has with his command staff, they get to bring Daffron and whoever and Bob Gill or whoever they want in there to sit there and say their piece. And they have a seat at the table that isn't elected. They should only have a limited amount of time, just like every other citizen. They should only be able to come to city council and speak for 3 minutes to that. They shouldn't have uninhibited access to the official business of the police department's command and staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have the Fort Worth POA advocating, then you need to have the people advocating.
Oh, let me piggyback off that. We literally have a council that acts like they're afraid of our police department. They act like our police department, we see that with the Aaron Dean trial, as though no matter what they do, even if they kill you in 77 seconds without following any, you know, procedure, it's okay. You just go, and so therefore he needs to get on with his life because he was out there doing his job. If something's wrong with this city in the way that they do that, no matter how you complain on a police officer, the officer is always right. Something's wrong with this city. And if we have leadership downtown right now, currently, that does not do right by the people and allow the police to do whatever the hell they want to do, just like what Gina Bivens did to me after showing three police reports that show that that officer had lied on those police reports. Gina got Cindy Boland and Dan Hodge to speak up for Michael Chavez. So if that's what we got in Mayor Pro Tem, where are we going, y'all? If Maddie Parker says we're going to ride with the chief, no matter if he has a plan or not, we don't have anything coming. If you got people who are voting them 80% of the budget, even though we don't have a strong police department, something's wrong. If they're taking CCPD funding and just throwing it out the window and giving it to their friends and taking kickbacks, we got the wrong leadership downtown. It's just as simple. Let's not
put it all on downtown.
Okay.
I want to holler at some of these pastors out here with these churches. That always want to put their bug in somebody's ear, because I grew up in a time where when we needed to know something about the law, see, other than Bible study and all that other stuff that go on with the church business, our church was also our civic learning centers in our various neighborhoods. And those leaders would then start breaking down piece by piece, a little bit at a time. It ain't got to be one big whole thing. You can plan your whole calendar around it. And what they would do, they would start taking out city ordinances, whether it was the zoning commission, whether it was the water department, whether it was the police department, fire department, how they should respond. They would take all of those things, and we would break them down by ordinance. And every community would learn a different ordinance. So by the time we got up to, say, about 6 months, oh, hell, we was well-versed in what should and shouldn't be done according to what they had on the paperwork. That's how we were being able to start holding them more responsible. Now, the blueprint that was written, you know, back in 68. But unfortunately, money does corrupt people.
Oh, wow.
And we found that out, you know, when Bessie Price was elected. You know, when she said, hey, tell them jokers they didn't see what they think they saw. Y'all need to quiet the people. You know, no, man, don't do that. Because my thing has always been to any pastor, preacher, or whatever he is, say, dog, you might run the church, but you don't run my house. And in the black church, unfortunately, a lot of people will give their say-so over based on what a pastor tells them. Or the pastor would give them hell in the church. I'm like, dog, don't let me be the man that wasn't saved. You know, I just put it like that. Because a lot of them now, they have taken on the same mentality that City Council has. Now, yeah, we talk about separating church and state, but at the same time, those were the places to where we got our tutelage. That's how we learned at home. You know, one of the things I had always taught my children in my house, hey, man, these are the laws. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is what they can do. This is what they can't do. This is how you conduct yourself. I have never had to sit down with my children, and my son's 28, about to be 29. I ain't had to sit down with him and say, well, when you see the police, you conduct yourself like this. We ain't never had that conversation. And he's going to be 29 years old. Because of the things that I already taught him, he already knows how the structure goes, so he already knows how to conduct himself. So when they pull you over, okay, I have my license, my registration. While I'm handing it to you, hey, officer, how you doing? Can you tell me why you stopped me? And if they jump off with attitude, okay, I know how to deal with you that way. Now they roll their camera. You sit there. I'm going to invoke my right to be silent. Whatever you say, you know, just go ahead. If you're going to give me a citation, give me a citation. No, I don't need to get out of my car. But whatever you do, lights, camera, action, you know, we're going to do it that way. And if I do believe if they start hitting these police officers in their own pocket, start taking that shit out their pension. You'll have less problems with the police.
It's amazing to me it's amazing to me. I'm like, and I ain't trying to hate on nobody's on nobody's money, Mac, but it's just amazing to me that I've looked at it and this. I'm retired from the Army, and here we are. We're paying these police officers, and I'm not taking anything. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. A police officer, $75,000 base pay. That doesn't include overtime, holiday, and fringe benefit and premium compensation with your insurance. $75,000 a year with no post-secondary education. No, I mean, you do your little 6 months of pay. You do your 6 months of pay of 8 hour, 5 days a week police academy, and then. You make while you're getting paid $3,400 a month for that, and then after you graduate police academy, $75,000 and steady promotion and all you stand to make $120,000 a year if you bust your ass with overtime as a Fort Worth police officer, a nurse, an emergency room nurse, bachelor of science in nursing, out of TCU can go to work entry level. They don't even make $70,000 a year. I mean, there's
soldiers
a few
don't even make that.
No, a lieutenant who graduates from the Air Force and becomes a fighter pilot, his entry level is less than that. It's crazy.
But let me say this. The problem I have with that, though, is with all of those incentives that you give them, you know, good medical and, you know, insurance and all this other stuff. And then they can't come on the job and do the job. They're harassing the people. They're on the job, you know, breaking every law in the book and committing all kind of crime. I mean, seriously, and can't even pass psychologicals. I mean, really?
Yeah.
So that's what you're giving $75,000 to?
Hey.
Well, remember when me and Malik were talking about last time? Look at the testosterone in these guys. Start drug testing these guys immediately after an incident. I guarantee you that 80% of them will not be a police officer after they do that. That's why they give them 72 hours.
I think they've got that growth hormone and stuff scrubbed out of their regulations. Because I had somebody a last year or so. She was, when I started getting into this thing, she was saying that she had video of over there at the, that hospital up there on University, the osteopath, where all of that new university
yep.
medical school thing is. She
yep.
said that they had police off, that she had recordings of police officers parking there, going in and get on duty, in uniform,
yep.
getting the T shot. And then, you know, on their break or whatever, and then just rolling mm-hmm. back out on duty with charged up.
Yep.
And I think the law enforcement officers who have been terminated or just casualties, they were terminated because what they did was horrendous, but you got to think about it. Those things caught the attention of the media or, you know, they like the domestic stuff, the acts of driving, intoxicate, you know, this, that, and the other. So these officers that have been terminated, which just happened to be the casualty. But we need to get. They always talk about the culture. It's the culture of the. I think these people who sign up to be officers are not don't come there with the attitude, the idea to come there, you know, to turn out to be bad cops. I think. When they get into that culture,
yeah,
when, you know, you're amongst a lot of evil. 9 out of 10, it's gonna probably corrupt you if you're not strong enough to stay. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna conform you if you're not able to navigate through it. Hey y'all, real quick. I don't mean to go off subject. I'm going through this council agenda for next week, and. You all are aware of a proposal that has been submitted by Councilmember Nettles and Councilmember Beck, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. For those who don't know, and we got to go to the phone line. Inform those who don't know.
Oh yeah. So yeah, just basically just a proposal for renaming the Hillside Community Center after Tatiana Jefferson. I take no issue with that. But you know what? this is what I'm going to be seeing in them. The same energy y'all putting into doing that, because you know what I'm saying. Use that same energy to put this police and community oversight committee back on the table.
That part. This part.
Well,
but
I'll
ahead.
Say this
go
about
ahead.
That. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm gonna go make your comment. Then we're gonna go to the phone line.
Okay. I'm a representative of 76104, Southside Hillside. So, trust me, that might not be what they want to do. Because, well, you think about it. There was a brother that got killed on that site at Hillside.
Mm.
Now, if anything, that would have been the person whose name I would have put on Hillside.
Wow.
Now, if we're talking about to memorializing her, the idea has been brought up to have a sidewalk plaque set in front of her house.
Mm.
Now, this is no disrespect to the family or nothing like that, because me personally, I believe if you want to memorialize her, start an endowment in her name, because what was she going to school for? To be a biologist.
Mm-hmm.
So if she whatever field she was in, let's memorialize her like that. Let's start an endowment that can continue to go on to help change the children job perspectives in their community to strive to be like she was.
Mm.
I mean, putting it on a rec center, to me, you know, that's kind of like quiet in the crowd. Because I'm looking at whatever happened to changing the street name.
Well, they got a street topper. They don't get to change the name. They just get put a topper on top of it.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
that was something to put basically to placate the community. And this feels to me something similar to that. But if you're going to do something, start an endowment in her name that will help kids have, like we talking about jobs and what they pay, start making that an incentive for our children in that community to start looking up to. Well, you know, hey, Tay was striving to be this. Man, I would like to do that. I want to be able to change things and change how the perception of my community is. Because think about it. With jobs like that, when people coming out of the community, we can actually have people, because you're right across the bridge from the hospital district.
Yeah.
Look at how many people that we can infuse into the hospital district. We're talking about we need trauma centers. Look at how many people that we can start go ahead and having our own stuff built. To me, that would make more sense to do it that way than to name a rec center in her honor. And I am not the only person who feels that way. There are many from the 76104 district that looks at that, and we're looking just beyond. And I understand, you know, like I say, this is no disrespect toward her name or anything like that, but we want to look at ways to where we can make our community better and strive to do better other than just sticking her name on a gymnasium.
I hear you. Listen, I hear you. Anyway, we're going to go to and I'm pausing because Mr. James is listening, so I'm sure he has feeling some kind of way about that. So I'm just going to leave it right there. We're going to go to the phone line, 314-381. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk for Words. Okay, why is that phone number? Good evening. You're on Let's Talk for Words.
Hello, Carrie. Interesting conversation.
Thank you.
I hear it all the time. But, you know, you talk about police behavior, but a lot of that over a period of time has been nurtured in them based on their interaction with the citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that before. That's a two-way street. Citizens should know the proper way, like the gentleman said. I don't know if he was an actual occurrence, but there's a polite way in a civil way to interact with somebody. And you know another thing too. The citizens have a right to write the laws that they consent to be governed by. Mm-hmm. I have to wait till your city council or your state legislature to do that. You have a right to do that yourself. And of course, you got to go through the process. It's easier to do it on a local level than it is a state level. But you have the right to write those laws that you approve to be, you consent to be governed by. But nobody does it. They wait for somebody else. I just want to put those two things out there.
Exactly. Thank you, Bianchi. And y'all know that's the culture here in Fort Worth. You know, nobody want to do nothing. And when somebody else comes up with an idea, you know, everybody wants to, you know, mean mug them and don't want to get with them because it wasn't their idea. And so nothing ever happened, which is sad. But that's the Fort Worth way. You want to talk about the Fort Worth way. Too often you'll come up with a brilliant idea and you'll shop it with a couple of people. They're going, yeah, I would, but, you know. And then the next thing you know, you have gotten discouraged because, you know, you're talking to them and they, you know, kind of blow your idea off like it's stupid or whatever. And in essence, they don't want to do it because they feel like they didn't come up with it and they're not going to be frontlining it, so therefore it's not going to happen. And we got to be careful.
I think it's a habit of the boss hog kind of thing, and that's another thing is I think we've been conditioned. Mm-hmm. Everybody has been conditioned to be bossed around by these people, and then mm-hmm. what I want to sit here and say is there is a difference between a leader and a boss. You know, mm-hmm. a leader sets an example. A leader leads by example and has virtue. And he listens to understand. A boss comes in, and like yeah. you said, boss hog, it's all about, and it's another thing that I have a lot of conversations about. People talk about minds are going off. I had an argument with somebody the other day online commenting, and they're saying, well, back in these when I was a kid, we were taught to respect it. I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't know if it was a mistake of words, but that's an easy one to kick because no, throughout the whole time of the whole human civilization, respect, nobody's been taught to respect authority. What people have been taught to respect is character and resume. And just because somebody because you remember when we were kids, if we had a good teacher that could grasp our respect, or the crossing guard got more respect than the principal because the principal, you know, I mean, come on, that's not true.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this, and because I started out initially in college, you know, going towards the area of law enforcement and realized that wasn't for me, but one thing you were taught, you know, is early on that you respect authority. So you don't necessarily have to like the person, but you respect the title. So you never call them by their name. You call them by their title and then their name. And so I learned that, and I had no problem with it. But then when I see how this leadership we have now treats us, the people, it doesn't feel like you feel like you owe them that respect. As bad as it sounds, I see how most time people refer to Maddie Parker as Maddie Parker. They rarely say Mayor Maddie Parker. And I think that's a tone that she set because I don't think she came in the right way, if that makes sense. And if she's listening and she hears it, is what it is. I don't think she set the tone right. I think she came in with an, as you said, a boss hog type of mentality. And I think mm-hmm. she very quickly, you know, it became like, this is my house. And we're going to do it mm-hmm. like this in my house. And I don't like how they did that, so we're going to change that. And I don't like this, so we're going to change that. And so all of a sudden, it didn't feel like City Hall anymore. It felt like, you know, like you were at their house. And so if you didn't like it, you could leave. And I don't think that is ever the way the people should feel when they come to City Hall. City Hall belongs to the people. I don't care who's in office. I think the people in office forget that there's always two options for you to be voted out, you to be voted in, or you to be recalled out. So it's not like, you know, this is your permanent position. This is just a place you be passing through. And I think some of the times what I've seen with the people on council is they are acting like they have permanent seating there. You know, and that's not ever smart. I believe when you go on a job, you don't take all your personal stuff. You know, a lot of people have the pictures and all the little mementos. That ain't your house.
Hey, Carrie, real quick, though, check this out, though. You say they treat it like they're going to be there permanently, you know, and I think prior to 2 years ago, I think the council was, a lot of the council members were running unopposed. But I kept saying a voter wave, but I've corrected myself since. I say the voter wave because we don't have a lot of people voting. The candidate wave that came along and that flooded out all the districts, it let them know things are not returning back to normal, you all, in Fort Worth, regardless of how you look at it. When it comes to this electoral process, when it comes to people getting elected, it's not going back the same. It's not going to be just the incumbent running. The incumbent is running unimposed, so all they got to do is just wait till election time. No, we're not going back to that way. So these people have been put on notice that, hey, you can be here now and try to do your best to serve the people and be transparent and you know, be considerate and or you can fall on that sword. You can go ahead and start making your bid and get ready to lie when it comes time for election time, because we're not going back to the way it used to be. And I think go back to what Wayman spoke of regarding the backroom deals. I thought about something I saw in the Forward Star. Hold on, let me stop saying the Forward Star Telegram. Let me say the city's newspaper. We can start calling them the city's news since they the city's newspaper. They highlighted how I'm gonna tell you a powerful group, you all, the Fort Worth Club, and we don't know who make up that club, but the Fort Worth Club. Yeah. You know, those are a bunch of people rubbing shoulders who got some wealth, probably got some and got some influence. Guess who was front and center doing that little little thingamajig they just had here some months back? Our mayor was front and center. She was on the front page. She was right in the midst of them, and they was talking about the amount of money they was raising for one of these charities, how they exceeded whatever they normally exceeded, blah blah blah. But she was right in the midst of them. I'm gonna say this, you all. I want to draw something else to you all's attention. Don't feel like there's no rift within the local political scene. Because remember, I knew Judge Mr. I knew sitting Judge Mr. O'Hare. Remember, he bumped heads with you remember it was some head bumping when he went up against Old Bessie, you remember? Mm-hmm. And then Whitley kind of like he had to rock with his girl. You know, Whitley had to rock with his girl Betsy.
Yeah.
But they didn't like the way Mr. O'Hare came on the scene. Mr. O'Hare came on the scene and kind of, you know, it kind of put a division amongst this group of people. You know, nobody's talking about it, but it is like a little division. Or I don't think too many people wanted Mr. O'Hare as the county judge.
He derailed the script because I think Nettie Parker was thinking it was going to be, like you said, the old days. But what you were saying is true, that the dynamic has changed because people are going to step in now. Whatever level, it don't, you know, there's people are learning how to file paperwork and do this online thing and just get in it, you know, to be a part of it, to be engaged, because we've been left out of it for so long. But I think Maddie Parker thought she was going to ride that. She was just going to ride the, you know, sail right into the county, that spot. Because she was running for the county commissioner too, wasn't she?
No.
What
was Maddie Parker or Betsy Price?
No, not Maddie Parker. The one before Maddie Parker. Betsy Price.
Betsy Price. Yeah, she was.
She's running for the judgeship. She's running for the judgeship.
She got jumped by Tom O'Hare. Tom O'Hare in the primary. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me say this. First of all, and I'm just going to say this, and you just have to really follow along if you're spiritual at all. You know, when we went into this Aaron Dean trial, it looked almost impossible. You know, they had got in our head so bad, it looked like probation was on the table. I mean, seriously. But God, you know what I'm saying? But God. And God intervened in that thing. And you know, whether people pay attention or not, the timing of Jim Lane's death, I don't think was by accident, you know, and I hope he got it right with God. But I think, you know, God was just not going to let him help, you know, use all of his years of knowledge to help that boy get off when everybody knew he was guilty. You know, and then the fact that, you know, Zion was not able to, you know, recant what they say he said. So then that forced Aaron Dean on the stand. And then you saw how the jury came back with, you know, the verdict and then the sentence. So if God can intervene on the Aaron Dean trial, he can intervene in the city election. And I was telling Trevor Booker the other day, you ought to run in 7 because he's up there in Firestone's district. And he was like, oh, no, Kerry, you know, Firestone's got all this money. And, you know, oh, my God, he was given 100 reasons. And then the other day I sent him an article and I said, Firestone is pulling out of the race. And so he said, okay, now I'm going to pray about it. And so my thing is, don't ever assume that whoever the incumbent is, they can't be beat or they're not going to pull out the race. Because some of these people, in my opinion, I forgot the name of my favorite show, and I cannot think of it for nothing. I used to love this cop show, and it was so good. And I loved just watching the reruns over and over and over again. And again, I'm going somewhere with this. And so all of a sudden they said they were not going to come back the next season. And my heart stopped. And I go, but how could they not come back? And she said, because we want to go out while we don't talk. We don't want to stick around until people don't want to see us anymore. We want to stop while we're ahead and people still love us. Huh?
What show was that?
I'm gonna think of it. It was a woman, and she was leading this these detectives, and they used to solve all these crimes in California. And I cannot think of her name. She's an actress.
The Closer.
Was y'all listening?
Yeah. That's Kevin Bacon's wife, and they split up.
Kevin Bacon's wife.
That's what I told you, Karen. Look here. I'm so happy to be a part of people with like-minded. You see how he got that out of you? You see how he got that out of you? So that's what I'm saying, y'all. We like-minded. We got to keep. I don't have energy for people who not. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, not sorry. I don't have energy or time for people who are not trying to be a part of the process. I'm sorry. I don't have time to explain to you what's going on. I don't have time to tell you this is this. People who want to get involved, because it's our livelihood. It's not just our livelihood. We got babies coming up. We got children who depending on true leadership. You know what I'm saying? We're not only trying to need to affect change in City Hall. We got the school board. We got the commissioner's court. We got the water. We got all these different entities that make up Fort Worth that need effective leadership.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's right.
I'd like to really piggyback. I'm going to piggyback real quick off of what Kerry had just said about, you know, about God's hand in things. And this is the other thing, too. Yes, it's true. It's true. We always got to recognize God's hand and his intervention. But we also have to recognize that is like what they used to say, half the battle. Knowing is only half the battle. Like God's hand is only half the battle. Just like in Exodus, God can part the Red Sea, but he ain't going to move your feet across, you know. And that's one thing that I sit there.
Come on now.
He ain't gonna get you moving. You got to stop standing there. You got to stop standing there scratching your head in awe of the sea parting and move it, you know?
That's true.
The thing, and what I say on that, the point I will make on that is we got all of this stuff going on with Aaron D. People really, like, we got to talk to each other and we got to listen to each other, because I'm finding out in this mission that I've been on, you know, I got woke up because of a little personal issue a few years ago. And I've just been digging into this, and every time I just get a little pop in my mind and punch in this word, and I scroll around a little bit, and I'm finding this stuff out there. I think I sent a couple of people on here a little transcript from a thing that happened. So I didn't understand, but apparently Fort Worth Police Department, I think it was because of an administrative matter, not really I think it was because of an administrative matter, not like a brutality matter, but they were under consent agenda because I think some black cops were sued the city and they got an injunction for a consent agenda from the federal government. Is that right?
Mm.
If y'all remember that. Like right before, it was right before Fitzgerald came in. And so what I've determined, what I've evaluated when I've done this little research, I looked at this little script, and what I saw was that it was a backroom deal, the Fort Worth Police Academy, I think because they were under that consent agenda and the Fed auditors were right there in their business all the time, I think what they decided to do to get through that was they said, well, hey, just for this, we're going to go ahead and go, and we're going to bring Fitzgerald in from Missouri City, Texas, and we're going to bring him in and patronize the people with this little thing. But really, our whole plan in the beginning is, you know, let him have this, and then he'll get offered up something, and he'll go somewhere else. Well, that's exactly the script they tried to follow. They were – that was a setup for him, man. I mean, before he even touched ground. And he was – and there's some critics of Fitzgerald, whatever, but you don't get perfection. But what I've looked at, the data, the empirical data of when he came in, it was like a 30% change in the crime rate, like within the first year. The community policing, the policies were changing. You had 50, I think you had during his time, he had 51 cops fired, terminated for disciplinary things, various on duty and off duty. He don't play, and he didn't play when he was at Missouri City either. He gave you a chance.
I don't think he was in Missouri City now. I don't think he was
I thought he was in a part of PA.
I thought he was in Pennsylvania before he came here.
That's where his first chief job was, Missouri City. He was down there for about 4 years. Yeah.
Okay.
And then he came up here. But the thing that happened, I'll get off of it. Y'all can read that transcript, but they set him up, and it was a whole setup deal. And then what we've heard is, and then 3 years later, all of those 51 officers, if you don't know the five officers that they sat there and said, they didn't charge them for anything because criminal, oh no. But the five officers that they decided to punish about the Christopher Lowe death, four of them are reinstated. As soon as Fitzgerald was out of town, they brought in they got four of them. Four of those officers got reinstated and back paid and promoted, and now they're still working in the gang unit. Yeah.
But see, that's the problem. We don't have a strong city council. You know what I'm saying? So the city council just goes for anything. And so we're just spending, like I said, we're just spending money like they're cutting grass, like they're just cutting these checks, like the money's going to grow back. That's got to stop. We need a strong council who is not afraid of the police department, who is going to stand up to police officers, you know, unlike Dean Bivens, and do the right thing. And so I showed two council people, by the way, Chris Nettles and Dina Bivens, paperwork to prove that Officer Michael Chavez, number 4053, lied on three police reports. And guess what? Neither council person did a damn thing. It is what it is. And Sally Madsen, who happens to be Chris Nettles' assistant, she took the email that I sent to them and sent it to the officer. So do y'all see what we're dealing with downtown? Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And then she tried to pretend she didn't know she did it. Oh, I misunderstood what it was all about. So I sent it to her by mistake. That kind of bullshit.
No.
So that's what we're dealing with downtown. So,
Carrie, who was the woman that, what was the organization that did the school board audit and also did one for the city? You had her on your show.
Right. She's out of a nonprofit out of Chicago. I forgot her name, but she's a nonprofit out of Chicago.
Yeah, I remember
that. We probably need to reach out and start looking at. Say it again.
You want to talk to her again?
Yes, I would love that because I think she gave a lot of great insight on ways that we can start monitoring ourselves, and you know, it gives us enough time for the people. If we have to do it, get a GoFundMe to put toward auditing our city council,
wow,
that's running our city business, and start auditing our school board. There's so much money that's been misappropriated, and we're talking about $20 to $40 million a year per entity that we found.
Wow.
Well, real quick, Mr. Pianki, I think I'm pretty sure if he's still online, Mr. Pianki, care if he's still on your switchboard. You remember he stated that the first place we can start is I was listening, Mr. Pianki. Get the secretary of state. Now, Wayman, thank you for that idea. It's good. Thank you, and I'm not dismissing your idea. Get the secretary of state involved, and we come together collectively. Get our thoughts together. What we're looking for, and let them go ahead and start their investigation. Because you know they can't stop them. They can't tell them no. If they say we want this, they can't. They're gonna give them a time frame. We need this by this date, and the city knows. They already know. Oh, we got to get this to them. It ain't gonna be no second guessing. Also,
yeah, but at some point in time, somebody gonna have to pay for that audit, and if it's gonna come out of our pockets, I would like for the citizens. I would like for us to have a head start on what we would be asking for, because none of the money is going in anybody's pockets. All the money is going for is for that entity to come and do those two audits. And if we got to do it every time we have an election, let's start looking at what that will cost us, because with that, I guarantee we'll start getting some act right.
I think also you all, we got to also remember this. Those who, and I'm not talking about the people who give to your constituents who give to your campaign, because we know your constituents giving to your campaign, they giving to your campaign because they're looking for you to be, they first of all, they believe in you and they're hoping for you to get elected, and they're hoping for you to get elected and do the things you say you're going to do. But the business entities, these developers, we know why they're giving to your camp. We know why they're giving to your campaigns, because when they come down there for them votes, because see, this is what they fail to realize. Listen, I'm not stupid, and I'm gonna keep saying, I'm gonna keep running my mouth. What you gonna? You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. I'm running my mouth. He said, "Well, he's just talking." Okay, let me just talk to him. But I know when these people come down here, these developers come down here before y'all. Y'all put on this little dog and pony show, like y'all really listening to them, and y'all vote what it is they want. We already know these are people that y'all paying them back on the back end. They putting kibbles and bits into your campaign, but y'all turn around giving them multi-million-dollar deals to destroy communities, areas that people are saying, when constituents saying, we don't want the development out here. Y'all making issues, y'all making this area worse than what it is, but y'all keep on sticking y'all fingers in your ears like the constituents are not talking. See, we forget about the constituents when the developers are coming down there. We forget about the constituents when business interest is coming down there. We forget about the constituents. We forget about them. That's why
but
I say.
How long, and the how other long thing, are those businesses going to stay there?
They don't. They that's what they do.
You
the
know
other
what,
thing
and
that, that,
say,
that.
Because somebody posted a letter yesterday about that very thing, and they were so serious about, let me see if I can find, he was talking about, they were tired of the developers coming in there and that they were demanding that certain lots be used before they keep developing. And I think he said, "Dear Zoning Commission Chair, my name is," he was telling people to do this crop letter, everybody do it. He says he's right to express the opposition to ZC 22198, which is basically they're dealing with the developers is wishing to have a rezoning stuff that they shouldn't be rezoning because there's already areas that they could build on. So they're saying that the city keeps allowing them to rezone stuff. You see what I'm saying? Over there off John T. White. And so I wonder whose district that is. But anyway, they were talking about how they're having an issue with these multifamily dwellings over there, and they want them to deal with the land that's already available instead of rezoning stuff. Pay attention.
Yep.
And so y'all, all stuff shouldn't be going on. I mean, it just shouldn't be going on. He says, I'm writing to express my opposition to ZC-22198, which is out-of-town developer, is wishing to have rezoned from AG, agriculture, to E, neighborhood, commercial, to a 424 multifamily apartment development with 38 additional cottage-style residences. And this is at the 2500 block of Dottie Lynn Parkway. He said this property is currently and correctly zoned as it is, AG, neighborhood commercial. And then he said Dottie Lynn Parkway already has a severe oversaturation of multifamily development as you travel north toward I-30. But our area is severely lacking in both AG and E zoning, both of which are currently valued on the east side. So they have been for a minute complaining about the issue of all those multifamilies that they're putting over there. This city, in my opinion, takes certain neighborhoods and they oversaturate them with certain things. If you want to talk about, remember the area over there where they were putting all the dumping ground stuff? You name it, it was over there with the waste companies and parole department, and they had all kind of, now they're putting the what do you call it, the people that recycling the tin and all that, junkyards, I mean, come on. Why you put all
real
that
quick,
in one
I'm going to segue, because I heard Chris trying to come in real quick. Listen, years ago, and this is what I learned. I wasn't even where I am now politically, but I was interested in politics. When I first got a whiff of the city council, I went down there. Gina Bibbins had some people from her community, which she always sticks her chest out about stop sticks. You had some women in her district who were fighting against the 24-hour that food store is called that old garbage. I don't use language. That old garbage ass business. That old Louisiana chicken. That old garbage ass business. Turned from a few food establishments to a 24-hour store. You had women from that district opposing this, one after one.
Yep.
And Gina Bibbins still got up there. They always get their little spills and still say, well, it's nothing we can do. The petition is already – she still allowed this business, this guy to change this thing into a 24-hour slum, whatever it is. My thing, I said this, and I learned this. This is what I learned. He said, when it comes to our areas, when it comes to areas of black and brown or areas that's disenfranchised, they can do whatever they want when it comes to zoning. It's no kick.
Yep.
It's really no kickback. It's no kickback. But those other areas, is either they give them more consideration. You know what I'm saying? Because they know it's gonna be some kickback. But they play on the fact that they say, well, these people not involved anyway, or these people not gonna. They don't give a damn. We just gonna do it. That's why our communities are suffering the way they are, because the zoning is different for each area. They have the zoning rules. The zoning rules are different for each area, and it shouldn't be.
I agree. Y'all, let me tell y'all who's running in these elections already, or who's already appointed the treasurer for their campaign. In the mayor's race, Christopher Rector, I think he's run for mayor before, and Ken Bowen Jr. is running in the mayor's race so far. They've already announced who they're appointing for their treasurer. In two, no one has announced. In three, no one has announced. In four, no one has announced. In five, District 5, William McKinley Jackson is running in five. Six, no one has announced. Seven, no one has announced. Eight, no one has announced. Nine, Taylor Mundick, who called in earlier, he's running in nine against, we don't even know if Beck is coming back. District 10, we don't know. District 11, you got Jeanette Martinez, you got Rick Herring, and you got Tara Maldonado Wilson running in 11. That's Jeanette Martinez, Rick Herring, and Tara Maldonado Wilson. And we also hear in 11 that Jesse Taylor is going to be in that race, so that's going to be very interesting in the 11 race. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, yeah.
McKinley Jackson is going to be nice. That's going to be interesting.
Because
he's well known in the community.
He what?
He's well known in the community. He's well respected.
Oh wow. He's a pastor.
So yes, it's gonna be kind of interesting because he has a lot of the, well, I know he used to have a lot of good connections with the clergy in the southeast area and around not only the southeast area but around Fort Worth. So that's going to be an interesting move right there, and I'm looking to see what his policy is going to be.
Oh, very interesting. You know,
has anybody figured out about the redrawing and how that impacts Nettles?
I'm not touching that tonight. You know what? All we know.
What happened, Carrie? What happened?
You would throw that in there at the last minute. I am not going to touch that. Would you like to enlighten us on what's going on with that?
No, I don't know. I just know it's an issue.
Oh, it's an issue. Oh. Okay. We'll research it and get back with you on the next show.
Well, you know what? You know, real quick, we know politics is dirty. So if somebody's running in that district, running against the opponent, running against Mr. Nettles, hey, there might be something you can use. It's already out in open. So politics is dirty. If you want to hit below the belt, there you go. You got something to hit below the belt with.
You know what? It was an issue in the last race with Kelly Ellen Gray, and everybody said that she was making it up, you know, and so everybody just kind of blew it off, I think, when it came up the first time, and now it's resurfacing in this race, so that's going to be very interesting to see. Hey, y'all, listen, we got to get out of here. We have gone over our time tonight. We thank you all for tuning in. We do this each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tonight we were on from 8 to 10. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor to check out the show. Also, follow us on Facebook. We update that page every single day with something interesting going on right here in Fort Worth. Listen, y'all, if you have got any ambition to run for city council or for mayor, get in the race. You never know. They may drop out like fire sale. The incumbent may not just, you know, may decide not to even return this time. So you don't have anything to lose. And listen, we want y'all to know we're going to be watching the numbers. So anybody thinking about cheating, we're going to be on you this year. So until next week, y'all, listen, we'll see you next week. Good night. Bye-bye.